It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Folk music played a big role for lumberjacks in the heyday of Wisconsin's logging industry. Now these shanty boy songs are being shared with a new generation by a local musician who's been researching the stories behind these songs. Matt Kristoff is a baritone singer from Dykesville and a graduate of St. Norbert College, where he recently gave a lecture about the lumberjack music of Wisconsin and shared a massive playlist to go with it. Matt, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
You recently gave a presentation at your alma mater, St. Norbert College, about lumberjack songs from this region, the Upper Midwest. What got you so interested in looking into this history?
Sure. So this all started back with my historian grandmother, Joyce Lamprer, and her son, who is a silviculturist, my uncle John Lamprer. They've both done research into local and state history on various topics. But because my uncle is a forest ranger for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, he was able to connect me to primary resources in the archives there. And I owe quite a bit of gratitude to Pinery Boys, which is a book published right here in Wisconsin about Franz Rickby, who was one of the first song catchers of shanty boy songs in the Upper Midwest. Between that book and the research, I just collected all this information. And finally, when my alma mater gave me the opportunity to be a guest artist at St. Norbert, I turned this into a research project, and it just exploded from there. Per the playlist that I built for the students, it got some traction thanks to my friend Shauna resharing it on social media.
There's some vocabulary, if we could step back, that you are saying here. One is Pinery Boys. What are Pinery Boys?
Sure. So Pinery Boys are the people that the lumberjacks, the shanty boys, the loggers, whatever you'd like to call them, that were working in the pines of northern Wisconsin and all throughout the Upper Midwest, harvesting trees and collecting wood to be turned into boardage.
And these shanties, they were temporary housing during logging season? Is that it?
Absolutely. So if you think about it, the job was very meant to be transient. So a timber cruiser or a surveyor would go out and assess the woods for boardage to harvest. They would pass that on to a camp owner to purchase. And then the lumberjack camp would go in, build temporary shacks for the mess hall, the bunkhouses that they lived in. If they needed a blacksmith or a machinery shop, they would construct that there and then harvest all the timber they could. Once they were done, they either abandoned the buildings or collapsed them and moved them on to the next location, or they just built new shacks wherever they needed to harvest more timber.
And so within these camps emerge these lumberjack songs. Is that where these songs were sung?
Sure. So the songs have a connection all the way back through the oral tradition of their ancestors. The ones that are primarily talked about in my research are from the Irish and British music traditions, but there were songs that came from all the tapestries that make up the mixed salad of the American music culture and history. And they combined those together. They brought the music that they knew, and they adapted them to talk about life in camp. They mainly sang ballads that talked about the history of what was going on in camp, personal stories, tall tales, and of course, chronicling some tragedies and comforting while they were isolated out in the woods with nobody around them apart from themselves.
And there's a difference between occupational songs and work songs. Which category do these lumberjack songs fall into, and how does that distinction shape our understanding of this history?
Sure. That was one aspect of my research that really surprised me when I entered into it. I assumed that all of these songs were work songs, songs sung at work. But there is a difference. Occupational songs are what these lumberjacks mainly sang. Those are songs that are sung after the job is done and not while they're doing the job, which, if you think about it, you're using an axe, you're using a saw, you're spread really far apart, and you're doing very dangerous work that requires a high amount of focus, so they weren't able to chop down a tree and sing. They'd be doing that at the bunkhouse after the job was done.
Yeah, they wouldn't even want to keep time in chopping down a tree with their songs, because there's so much acuity, so much going on around them, and it's very loud at the same time.
Exactly.
So as part of your presentation at St. Norbert, you made this four-hour playlist on Spotify, Shanty Boys, as you mentioned, 96 tracks. How did you pull this together? How did you assemble this playlist?
So I have to give a shout out to my college friends at St. Norbert. We would regularly make playlists on very specific topics for the fun of it, being nerdy music majors that we were.
And that was happening in your camp.
Yeah, that's exactly what was happening back at our camp after class was done. And so when I was building the presentation, I knew that I could not touch on everything I wanted to in that hour. So I thought about what I would have appreciated as a student, and that would have been a QR code at the end to scan. And if I wanted to or I had time, I could listen to the tracks and get a better understanding of the music myself. So at first it was purely Wisconsin tunes, and then it became Upper Midwest tunes. And then the more in my research, I came to find that they also sang other profession songs for entertainment. So came in sea shanties and other kinds of work and occupational songs, and it took off. And suddenly, 4 hours later, you have a playlist that's perfect for like baking in the winter or driving on the roads. It's a very invigorating playlist for sure.
We're talking about the history of lumberjack songs in Wisconsin with Matt Christoph, a baritone singer from Dykesville, who has been taking a deep dive into this history and recently created a large playlist of songs called Shanty Boys. Well, let's get into the music. The first song on your playlist is called The Little Brown Bulls. Let's take a listen.
Now the thing in the woods had McCluskey the fear, as he swung his gourd stick o'er the big spotted steers. They were young, sounding quicker than eight full in three. Says McCluskey, the Scotsman, they're the laddies for me. And next come Bull Gordon, the skidding was full, as he hollered, "Wah, hush," to his little brown.
So there's a Scotsman and the Little Brown Bulls. What is this contest?
Yeah, so this song takes place in Wisconsin by all records that we can find, where specifically a lot of people lay claim to, which is very common for these oral tradition songs. Typically, people say it's between Plover, Chippewa Falls, and Crandon. So we have two teams of livestock. We have the Little Brown Bulls, owned by Bull Gordon, who would be the underdogs in the story. And then we have the Big Spotted Steers, who are the favored team of the camp, owned by McCluskey, the Scotsman. McCluskey comes in and says, "Your Little Brown Bulls, they can't handle our big pine. They're too small." So Bull Gordon says, "No, they got this. They're going to pull
the
you.
Upstarts are going to take this."
Exactly. The underdogs are going to come in and swoop it up. So they bet $25, which at 1870 was quite a bit of dough.
Wow.
And the two teams set out for the day to pull 1,000, part of their contract. And at the end of the day, McCluskey is so confident that he's going to win that he tears up his best Mackinaw, which we would now call that a jack shirt or a shacket, the wool coats that were worn out into the woods in this buffalo plaid.
The red plaid.
Exactly.
Buffalo plaid. Yeah.
And then at the end of it, the scaler, the person who climbs the huge stacks of wood to measure them, says, "Well, you did meet your contract, McCluskey, but Bull Gordon, it beat you by 10 in a score." So he gave his Mackinaw and his $25 to Bull Gordon, and they drink to the hardest day's work that was done on the Wolf River.
Well, now let's listen to a clip from the song The Pinery Boy. It's a woman who goes out onto the Wisconsin River looking for a raftsman. She calls her Pinery Boy.
"Oh, a raftsman's life is a wearisome one. It causes many fair maids to weep and mourn. It causes them to weep and mourn for the loss of a true love that never can return."
So this one takes a downcast. What is happening?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier we kind of discussed how the raftsman had that very tough job. Well, this is a tragic ballad that discusses that aspect, that for every partner that left their raftsmen to go out on the big rivers like the Wisconsin, the LaCroix, the Mississippi, the Wolf, there was the reality that they may not come back. So Pinery Boy is a true Wisconsin classic of a lumberjack song. A woman has her father build her a raft so she can go down the Wisconsin and seek her lost Pinery Boy. And she takes a pilot that passes by, describes him to her in great detail, and at the end, the pilot has to deliver the sad news that he didn't make it, and he was buried in the Dells at Lone Rock. She rows all the way to the Dells and finds where he was laid to rest, and herself is laid to rest is the assumption by the lyrics at the end. Mm. That story and the melody is so beautiful. It's just a very memorably tragic and beautiful song.
Mm. As you mentioned before, you're a singer yourself. So these songs, they deeply resonate with you. Would you like to share a vocal selection with us?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to sing a few for you. So for this one, this will be the Shanty Boys alphabet. A is for axe that cutteth the pine. B for the jolly boys never behind. C for the cutting we early begin, and D for the danger we oft times are in. And it's merrily merry, so merry are we. No mortal on earth is more happy than we. And it's high derry ho derry, high derry down. Give a shanty boy whiskey, and his head will go round. E is for echo that makes the woods ring. F is the foreman, the head of our gang. G is for grindstone we grind our axe on, and H is the handle so smoothly worn. I is the iron that marketh the pine. J for the jolly boys never behind. K is the keen edge our axes we keep, and L is for the lice that keep us from sleep. M is the moss we stick to our camps, N is the needle we sew up our pants. O is the owl that hoots in the night, and P for the tall pines we always fall right. Q is the quarrels we never allow, R is the rivers our logs they do plow, S is the sleigh so stout and so strong, and T is the teams that haul them along. U is the use we put our teams to, V is the valleys we force our roads through, W, the woods we leave in the spring. And the other three letters, I don't think I'll sing. And it's merrily merry, so merry are we. No mortal on earth is more happy than we. And it's high derry, ho derry, high derry down. Give a shanty boy whiskey, and his head would go round.
I like the XYZ. Whatevs. We'll just let it go.
I can't be bothered to give you letters for that. Like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. And the lice, the L is for...
It was a... If you're living in a communal space and you've got to wear hats, lice was an unfortunate reality of living in a bunkhouse, and it prevent many a guy from getting a good night's sleep.
I mean, you can tell how this alphabet brought you so close to the lumberjack life and the lumberjack industry. It takes you right there.
Exactly. And if you think about it, like, these were meant to be an instructional song to teach a variety of people from all sorts of backgrounds skills that they needed to survive very quickly. The foreman might assess a person that wanders into camp within like a couple minutes and go, "That's your job. Go do it." And you need to kind of just pick up the skills as you go. So using the alphabet as a mnemonic device to remember all these skills is very creative and very smart.
What is the biggest takeaway message you want to leave with us here from your research, from the presentations, and from all of this music that you've listened to so many times and that's so much a part of your life now?
So when I set out on this project, my initial desires were that I just really wanted to understand why in this really tough job that this music arose. But what came of it were two really important realizations for me. One is that access to music education needs to be equitable across all classes. The second point is that one does not need to have a very formal music education in order to make really lasting music, which there's a lot of gatekeeping in music, I feel, where some people say, well, that's not truly music, or you're not truly talented or skilled enough to make music that is worth listening to. But these men were mainly there to chop wood, but they still found time to carve out tunes and lyrics, and we're still talking about them today, and they're very much a part of our identity as Wisconsinites still. So I am just so happy and thrilled that we are able to continue talking about it now.
Matt, thank you for sharing these songs. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
That was Matt Kristoff, a baritone singer from Dykesville, and we've been talking about his latest research on the lumberjack songs of Wisconsin and what they reveal about the history of logging in the upper Midwest.